And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. Next Wednesday is May Day, and it's also National Decision Day for high school seniors who have to pick a college by that day to enroll in the fall. One of those seniors who's still weighing a few options is sitting right across the table from me. I happen to know him pretty well because he's my son. Nick Kraske is a senior at Shawnee Mission East. I can remember him sitting at this table coloring pictures not so many years ago, and here you are getting ready to make a big decision
still
for college.
Still terrible at art.
Yeah.
It's still okay.
Welcome. It's so good to have you here for the first time on the radio show.
Well, good to be here, Dad.
Yeah. Also with us is Tom Medlock, who teaches and coaches at Pembroke Hill. He's also a college coach who spent some time with Nick and me last year. And, Tom, good to have you here, too.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Tom, let's begin with you. We'll make Nick stew a little bit and wait his turn, because this search for a college is really something. I feel like even after all these months and all this reading and all these visits we made, I still feel like it amounts to something of an educated guess here. And I'm wondering if a lot of parents and seniors wind up feeling that way, too.
Well, I think people are probably a little bit all over the map. Some of them are already decided, particularly
sure.
The ones who went early decision. Actually, at this point in time, there's probably a smaller fraction who are still really agonizing over it. But I think at the end of the day, and even though I'm actually a physics teacher, so I'm sort of quantitatively oriented, I pretty much think it comes down to a gut feel. And mm-hmm. I say that from the very beginning of the process. And if you have that and you have a comfort level when you go and see a place, it's hard to go against that ever ultimately. So,
well, Wednesday is decision day. I hope it's not that unusual that we still haven't made a pick yet, but you're saying there's still a bunch of folks out there who are still
there's still lots of scrambling, no question. There's still a large part of humanity that's trying to figure out where they're going to spend the next 4 years of their life and from high school.
What's the significance of Wednesday? What happens Wednesday?
That's the day that you have to put down a deposit to hold your spot somewhere. So right now, what a lot of high school students don't realize is that the colleges are sweating it out now. All the students had to sweat it out in the whole application process and where do I get in and not. But now the colleges have given their letters, and they have to wait and see who's going to come, and are they going to over-enroll or under-enroll, and are they going to have enough Latin majors and things like that. So
it's a crapshoot for a lot of people here.
That's right. And so that May 1st date gives the colleges visibility, and then they have wait lists ready, and then there's all kinds of activity that happens when they start getting numbers in and see how their projections compare to the reality and that sort of thing. So that's a big day really for the colleges as well as the students.
Well, Nick, as you sit here, why don't you tell us what you're weighing? We're 5 days before decision day. What's going through your mind? What's going through our minds here as we try to sort this out?
Yeah, well, obviously one of our biggest concerns right now is, financial. We're looking at, different financial packages that we've received from these different colleges and just kind of weighing that. We visited a bunch of different places, too. So we're just taking that into account and trying to decide which college would fit me best.
You know, Tom Medlock just talked about this gut feeling that you get. Have you gotten a gut feeling from one or two places that you visited?
Yeah, absolutely. When we visited Chicago, looking at a couple schools there, including DePaul and Loyola, and just being in Chicago has really made me feel like I could fit in there. And it just seems like a really, really awesome place to, grow as a person and to be for college.
What is it about Chicago that's sort of tripping your trigger?
Yeah, well, I'm really into improv comedy. I love improv and sketch comedy. And Chicago has the big comedy circuit. Second City is really big there. And every time I've visited, I've gone to a Second City show. And it's been hilarious and awesome. And so not only do they have, cool entertainment venues like Second City, but there's something for everybody there. So no matter what I end up deciding to do with my life.
You know, it's interesting that for us, DePaul and Loyola weren't on our radar screens when we first started. I mean, what a crazy process this has been. And Tom sat down with us very early on and began to say, well, here are some places that might begin to fit. But, it's been kind of a crazy ride, hasn't
it? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's been really difficult deciding, and a lot of different factors have gone into our decision. But it's nice to finally have at least a little bit of an idea of where we're going.
Well, Tom, this process of picking a school, obviously bewildering for a lot of people, and I'm saying it was for me. There are so many schools out there. Give us some guidelines for parents who either are still thinking about this or will be thinking about it in the next few years. What kinds of things might they begin to think about as they move towards this big decision?
I think the biggest thing is right now, like for example, if you have a junior, you don't realize how little time you have to physically go and visit some places. So I would say anytime you go on vacation somewhere, for example, wherever it is, take a look at a school to get a sense of what a liberal arts college is like or what a flagship state university is like or a middle-sized private.
Yeah, because early on, a lot of folks don't really have a sense of what's a 5,000-student college look like versus a 20,000 versus a 40,000. Mm-hmm. We're talking about very different animals here, obviously.
And a lot of colleges are in the business of branding themselves. And so a lot of kids just see what they see on ESPN, SportsCenter. They don't know a lot about other schools. They get tons of stuff in the mail once they take a standardized test. And a lot of those are just sort of almost implanted, highly marketed images. And then you actually go and get your feet on the ground and figure out, oh, this is what this place was like. This is different or more like what I wanted.
Let's talk about cost for a minute. You know, what struck me about so many of the private schools that we visited, it seems like they all carry these price tags of $50,000. I mean, give or take a few thousand, they're all about 50. And what I'm finding out is a lot of students don't wind up paying that much. It's sort of like the sticker price for a new car. They say 50, you end up paying something sometimes far less than that. Is it sort of like buying a car? I mean, am I right?
You know, it's probably more like the dating game that way, at least on the soft side. But on the hard side, on the financial side, I think one of the most important messages is that very few people pay sticker price. I was on the campus of a pretty selective college year or two ago, and a student, my tour guide, said that only 70% of us are on some kind of financial aid. So very few people actually pay full sticker price. And you see in the newspaper these gigantic sticker prices. So I don't know if maybe perhaps at the very end stage now, when you're negotiating price, it's more like buying a car. But
And talk about that for a moment, because you can negotiate the final price here, like buying a car. There is some back and forth negotiation that goes on in a whole lot of cases, right?
True. I saw a study a couple summers ago that showed that financial aid officers aren't going to be happy about me saying this, but about 1 in 3 times if you try to negotiate price, you can have some success. But usually my recommendation there is if you're down to two schools and they're competitors and you're like, really would rather go here than there, like probably like the two schools that Nick's looking at, then hey, is there any way that you can make it at least equal so that I can go where I want to go?
That's a reasonable request as we sit down here this final weekend and crunch some final numbers here, because we definitely are looking at that.
The financial aid calculation is a little bit of art and a little bit of science, and they want students who want to come to their place. So 1 out of 3 times it works, so it's worth trying.
Well, and that's exactly where we're at here, right? And we got to make some calls and try to get a number down and sort of see how it shakes out. And are you nervous about this, or are you sort of okay with things?
A little bit of both. I'm definitely nervous about having a new experience and whatnot, but I'm excited as well. So,
well, it's been fun to see, because a lot of these schools we went to, I could tell they weren't turning your tumblers all that much. But then when we hit Chicago, the light bulbs seemed to go off, and you seemed to be pretty excited about it. It was really fun to see.
Yeah. You know, we visited a few of those schools, like Truman State and Knox. Really cool schools, but just the location wasn't really doing it for me. They were kind of, you know, in the middle of a cornfield, for lack of a better way to describe them. But just visiting Chicago, like I said earlier, you know, really helped me decide that that's probably where I wanted to be.
You know, Tom, the other thing that we found over the course of so many months here is that, you know, campus visits certainly are helpful. You got to go there and sort of eyeball it for sure. But then, on the other hand, they really aren't that helpful, because the tour guides, after a while, sort of all sound the same. You go on one tour, you've sort of gone on all of them, you know, in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, I tell my students, admissions people are great people, but they are kind of glorified marketing people for their school, which is fine. And how many times can you hear you get to keep the same mailbox for all 4 years from the same school? And so I usually tell most of my kids, stop someone on the street. Some kid's walking across the quad, they look like a student, say, hey, you know, can I talk to you for 5 minutes about your school? And I do that every single time I go to a campus. You get great information, and you can tell that they're genuinely excited, and they haven't been trained or ordered to do so. And you can ask questions like, what'd you do last weekend? What was your hardest class? Yeah. How many professors have you known? And get some real good answers to questions that help you.
I was just going to say, I think that's a really good point, because, you know, when we first went to DePaul and we did the generic tour that they have planned. You know, you learn some stuff and it's all good information, but when I was able to actually meet with a student, that was when, you know, that was the most valuable experience, because that's, you know, you get the true perspective. Yeah. From an actual student. So.
Well, here we've gone from you sitting at this table coloring pictures, and here we are having a conversation about you going off to college. It's been an amazing ride.
It sure has.
Yeah,
it
I'm sure excited for you, honey.